Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and not good to be back after a week layoff. And with me, as always, from live to tape from Centerville, Virginia, is the lovely, beautiful, wonderful, and talented Anna Knox.
No, you're too kind. Too kind. But well, hello, I'm here. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, I had to take some time off. Way too much life, work, getting in the friggin' way and just wearing me down, and I just had zero energy. And I mean, honestly, all you would have heard is us bitching about why can't this team win in the West? So figured take a week off, recharge the batteries, and come back stronger and better. So here we
there
are.
You go. Welcome back.
Yep. And Anna, of course, doing her duties solo with Sports on the Hill representing the show. So appreciate that.
Absolutely. We'll be on tonight live at 7, and it's a short one because they've got a special guest coming on at 8 for the skin, so that's pretty awesome.
Yep. So a short shift here on the Triple P as well, because as we're recording this, it's a little after 5 p.m. So not too much to report on anyway. So I'm gonna keep it short and simple. And like Anna said, she's got an appearance later this evening on there, and So glad for Robbie and Carol again. This continued partnership, appreciate that. Just wanted a quick word. I don't know.
Word.
I don't know who this person is that, or who this person or persons or whoever it is that's got it in for Carol, but this crap needs to stop because I don't know. I mean, did you get a reset friend request from Carol?
I did.
Yeah, I did too. And I asked him what was going on. He was like, well, somebody tried to ban me from Facebook again. Somebody's, pulling crap on me again. So I had to redo my profile. So I don't know who these people are, but
seriously.
So I mean,
And it's annoying. And I mean, if they wanted to annoy him and people who follow him, they did it. Okay, you did it. Like, we're all annoyed because, you got to change everything and get a new name and then find all your followers again and all that kind of bullshit. It's like, come on, people. What is it that's bothering? If you don't want to hear what he has to say, don't listen to the show.
Simple as that.
Give me a break. I mean, please, I hate Mike Milbury. Everybody knows that. So I don't listen to him, because I find myself getting so distracted and worked up over him. So I don't listen. I mute it, or I find a different way to hear a Caps game, just not when I have to hear him. And so people are just stupid and just get a life already. So but Carol's a great guy, and he's gonna pull through on top and be the better person, and it's all good.
Yeah. No, I just want to throw that out there because I know we have a lot of cross show listeners. So just want to give some insight on that. And might be wondering if you all got a Facebook friend request. That's why, because somebody's effing or trying to F with them again. And just want to say we don't appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. So okay. Well, when we last left you was, of course, the wonderful outdoor game, which was a blast. And Once again, thank you very much to Ron Schrantz for his guest appearance and his reporting on that with us. Still getting great feedback on that. Loved it. Absolutely loved it that we had an eyewitness there.
And
just absolutely great. And so they went out west and, did their usual stinker of a job representing 0-4 loss to
Ducks.
Anaheim team.
Right.
And then 2 days later, a 1-3 loss to the Kings. It looked a little bit better, but not much. Mr. Vrana getting a goal, his 12th of the season. So not bad. Not bad showing by him. But still a losing effort. And then they finally turned things around with Mr. Grubauer getting the start and getting a shutout against the Sharks. And hopefully,
and it was my birthday.
And it was your birthday, so it was a great birthday present.
It was.
It was a great present in general. And I finally got to post my spear in the gummy shark picture that I'd been saving for, months and months and months and months, that I got to post on the show's Facebook page. Hope everybody enjoyed that.
You were excited.
I was very excited to post be able to finally post that. And so moving on this past, not yesterday, but last Monday, back home against the Jets. And that, of course, was the game, the magical game where our captain got his 600th career goal, joining a very elite club. He is now firmly and solidly among the top 19 in that category.
It's incredible.
Yeah, he opened the scoring and he had two to go at that time. He opened the scoring with what was his 599th at the time, and then he gave the Caps the lead again in the second with something of a, well, I don't want to say it's strange, but it's a little different for him. Usually we're so used to seeing him blast the one-timer from the left circle. This one was quite a bit different in that he was in the scrum in front and was kind of digging for the rebound and finally wristed it home, and that was what gave him number 600. And kind of funny was the next goal that retied the game was from somebody who considers Ovechkin his idol, and that's Patrick Laine. He got his 41st.
That kid's a... He's going to be one to watch. I mean, 19.
He's tearing it up now, and he's only going to get better. So he's definitely going to be one to watch. And then, fortunately, in OT, Evgeny Kuznetsov puts it away and gets the game winner with assist from Chandler Stephenson. So that would be the second of four straight wins. And then it was a home-and-home against the Islanders. Swept that, thank God. And here we were thinking they're on the comeback trail. And then we get to last night's game against the Criers in the Wells, the Fargo Center. And, you wanted to go WTF because we were wondering WTF.
It sucked big time. I was thinking, okay, they're going to go into it. It's a Sunday early game. You know, they're coming off these, like, I thought they were going to, they would at least give more of a fighting chance, against Philly because they were coming off of the Islander wins, but not just wins, like, major scoring wins. You know, what do you have, 7-3, and what was the other one?
6-3.
Yeah, I mean, that's high scoring games. They looked awesome. You know, it was good. And then, Philly happened, and now it makes me worried about them playing the Stars tomorrow.
Well, Timo Solani once said that sometimes with the offense in hockey, that it's like the classic glass ketchup bottle. You can pound on it and bang on it and tap on it and do whatever, and it don't want to come. and then you tip it a little bit, and then it all comes out in one shot and makes a big mess. So, mm-hmm. and we thought, okay, finally the ketchup bottle got opened, and then last night, nothing. Well, not nothing, but, I mean...
It was bad.
It was bad in that they, I don't know, they just didn't... Ken Sabourin, I was listening to the radio call for the first 20 minutes, and for the first period, basically, and he had it, he nailed it. You know, the Caps were not taking the play, they were not controlling the play, they were not forcing it at all, they were sitting back too much. They looked like the tired team. They looked like the one that had played the night before and not the Flyers. And
exactly.
I mean, I'm getting a buzz just thinking about it. I'm hearing this buzzing noise that makes me want to... I don't know. I think about it and I get all... I don't know.
Worked up.
Yeah.
Frustrated.
Yeah. And so I'm going to take a few minutes now because I'm very, very concerned that what we saw yesterday, unfortunately, will be the team that shows up in this year's playoffs. The mistake
in regards to the lines, the players, or just in regards to the chemistry all around.
In regards to the overall approach to the game. That
gotcha.
the sitting back, the okay, we got this, we don't need to be aggressive or force the play or be fast or be physical. I mean, it was, they managed to put up three goals, but still, I mean, all right, so let's dig it up here. Let's go to the app and go into the vital stats here. Okay, shots on goal. Well, that kind of sort of tells the tale. 35 for the Flyers, 28 for the Caps.
Correct. No goal in the first period.
No goal in the first period.
But we can say that, and not, you know, we don't want to be too much of a Debbie Downer. There was a bit of a highlight in the second period. And it was Travis Boyd.
Oh yes. Well, trust me. We will get to him in a moment. But okay. the guys with the goals for the good guys anyway. Ovechkin, his 43rd. Mm-hmm. He's nipping ever so slightly for the lead for the Rocket Richard Trophy. Let's see. Chandler okay. Stevenson with his 6, mm-hmm. ably assisted by your boy Vrana.
Mm-hmm.
And John Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of your boys, though, somebody yeah. who had a suck on donkey balls game, and this coming off of probably his two best games was Burakovsky.
Yes.
What the hell was going on with him yesterday?
Yeah, and I'm almost... I can't believe I sent you that text saying I was convinced he was going to have a great game. That blew up in my face like a, yeah, that, what the hell? It was, again, it was preseason team. It was, I haven't been around these guys to see how well our chemistry is on ice. It was embarrassing. There were penalties after penalty after penalty. And I've said this before, you know, to you before we started recording, I am not happy with my Tommy and his penalty minutes. Although I do think he is an absolute target, and I think the refs are a bunch of assholes to him. But this is insane. His minutes are, you know, increasing, and I'm not happy with it. So I may need to have a little chat with him.
Yeah, no, and so you're right. And this game alone, let's see. Okay, so he was whistled for an interference penalty in the first period.
And then roughing.
And then roughing again. Okay, roughing in the matching roughing minors, but again, two more minutes in the second. And then, oh, okay, so that was it. He wasn't even in the fight. In the third period. Yeah, what the hell is he doing getting into a fight?
Well, that's another thing. I mean, I was going back and forth on just on Messenger with a friend, and both of us were like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you were the last person that needs to be fighting, Oshie, considering that, yes, you scored, you know, three goals in the last couple of games, and you're kind of getting your groove back. You are not 100%. There is something, whether it's his wrist, his shoulder, something, he's not giving it 100%, and he looks like it looks like it hurts. And so you're going to drop the gloves, and, I mean, they hit some hard hits in. I mean, I was impressed that he fought, but I was more like, what the hell are you doing? Because now we're going to have another injury, and that's like the last thing that we needed. But yeah, it was just watching that. I mean, 5 minutes each, whatever. It was bad. And then, but Tommy, I mean, come on. I need him to score as soon as possible because to get his groove back, because he hasn't scored in a while. He's done really well, though, you know, with the assists, but he's just not doing it like he was in the beginning of the season, and that's not okay with me.
No, he needs to crash the net a little bit more. But getting back to Oshie, actually, I would disagree with you slightly in that the two Islanders games, it looked like he was getting things back because he actually got a goal in each game. So it looked to me like, I mean, he was maybe not all the way back, but I would say about 98%. His shots were more on target. His skating was a little bit better. So I would say he's not quite there yet, but he's a lot closer than he was, say, 5 or 6 games ago.
No, I still feel like if you – and I agree. He had great games against the Islanders. I completely agree with you on that. But I feel like if you were to watch any of the highlight reel, any of the recap, there is still a hesitation with him when it's, you know, some you have somebody in it and they pass it to him, and, you know, if it's to be like a wrist shot or whatever it is, there's still a hesitation, there's still a pause, like either it hurts or it's mental or whatever it is, it's not as, you know, quick as it used to be. Is he coming back? Yes. Is he 100%? No. And I'm not going to say he's like at 50%. I feel like he's in the low 90s, but I wouldn't give him 98.
So no your mermaid eyes are seeing that he's still that half step, quarter step, whatever, a bit slow. Okay. All right. Well, Power Play Point podcast listeners, I'm going to issue you a challenge right now. If these next three, four games before we record next week, and we might not be doing a show depending on how Robbie and Carol are feeling, because I know Mondays they like to do a live. You know what? No, that's never mind. That's a 7:30 puck drop. So. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for them. They've got their own schedule. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But like most of the time this year, if it's a Monday night game, they like to have us live. But you know, not going to speak for them again. We'll see what they want to do. But at least three games before the next recording next week. So listeners, I want you to keep close tabs on number 77. My numbersake. pardon me, and see if he's still that slight step slow. Keep an eye on his body language, especially, as Anna said, during receiving of passes and shots and all that. I say his shots are a little bit more accurate. So this not so much a competition, but let's see if...
Oh, no, it's a competition.
He improves, see which one of us is right and which one of us is full of beetle dung.
So be
very interesting to watch that over the course of the next few games.
Well, and I just want to clarify, I did say he looked better because his shots are definitely better than what they were
right, but you're before. saying his...
But what I'm saying is there's still a pause. I feel like there's still a hesitation, and that I will tank to the bank. Yes. So, yeah, I'm all good with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, bring it on.
All right. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on that over the course of the next few games, which we'll be previewing here a bit later on. Okay, so a bit of bad news, quite a bit of bad news, after the home and home against the Islanders. Kind of serious injury, and the other injury is kind of serious too. Although I don't know what the permanent lasting effects will be, slightly different. But the first part of it I want to talk about, of course, was Kuznetsov's injury in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
Where he got slashed in the arm and then ran into the boards. Mrs. Blue Liner said she saw the replays, and she says she's calling shenanigans on the whole day-to-day thing. And I listened, and it was kind of funny because both Joe B. and John Walton used the same language in saying, Barry Trotz is calling it day to day.
Okay.
Calling it day to day. So there seems to be this sense that the injury is probably a lot more severe than what they're letting on. And, And there's a chance that, nobody's saying it, but it sounds like there's a chance Kuznetsov may miss the rest of the season at the very least. And that's that before anybody goes bat crap crazy on us here, this is all just speculation on my part. I don't have anything concrete. There's been no announcement that I've heard officially. Kuznetsov is still day to day. I doubt he's going to play. I would seriously doubt he's going to play against Dallas. I mean, it's a cross conference game. Yes, we need the points, but it's not absolutely vital. They're going on a road trip after that. We'll see if they take him with him. That'll be where the proof lies. But I there is a point to all this. I mean, it didn't look very good, but this is a good time to rest him. He's got nothing to prove. It does change the dynamic. But it did give one young man a chance to prove himself. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. Now, the other injury, and you and I were talking about this off air. Your perennial favorite, Mr. 43, took one in the family, Jules.
Yeah, I did, in the Little Willies.
Yeah. And
yeah, that was like the shot heard around the world. His facial expression, and again, no penalty. So as much as I have my list of people like Malkin and Marchand and all those other douchebags, Clutterbuck, you're number one. I hate you. You're a dirty player, and I'm who does that? Like, really, like who does that? So, you know, man up. If you're gonna fight Wilson, drop the gloves and go for it.
Well, that's just punches. That's just
but
it.
Why would you take it? Yeah.
He's a chicken
shitty hockey
that can't fight. He's
true.
He knows he's gonna get his ass kicked in a legit fight, so he does crap like that. He prides himself on leading the league in hits. Now, most of his hits are on unsuspecting players. They're nothing to write home about. He's not as tough as he makes himself out to be. He's nothing more than a glorified dirty player. At least Marchand has some skill. At least he knows how to move the puck and put it in the net. I will give him that much. Clutterbuck is just a heavy bag on skates. That's all he is. The man has no talent except to run into people and play dirty. So you're right. And that's a lot
and
of
it was, I sat back and it's one of those things that females would never understand the pain or whatever else. That's, you see things like that. But that was, I mean, it was so dirty and so uncalled for. And Wilson's face, he was like, you know, yeah, because who does that? Who takes a stick to some guy's balls to be like, yep, here you go. Like, it's so stupid. It's so juvenile. And it's just, so he is.
Actually,
you know,
what the, I don't know if he said OF as so much as maybe what you want.
No.
That's what it sounded like to me. Like, he was doing the, maybe he thought he was hit so hard, maybe he thought he was doing the Paisanos commercial again.
Don't get me started. You're putting Paisanos in the same category as Clutterbuck, and I fucking hate them both. So, yeah, getting all kind of riled up over here.
All right, I promised I wouldn't annoy you as much, so.
It's all right, bring it on, I can handle it.
Okay.
But yes, so the Little Willies, hopefully they're healing, because there was a lot of female fans that were willing to offer some TLC, and I'm sure some male fans too, to be sure that he'd come back and be okay. So, but still, dirty man, the guy's a douche, and it was just a stupid hit. I mean, and he's gonna have to live that down. Like, really, you could do anything, but you're gonna take a stick to the nuts?
Well,
okay.
It all it does is adds to his reputation as I'll put this politely, as a certain female body part, in which a lot of people, you know, the people that count already know that's what he is.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So
he is a huge see you next Tuesday. So that's, yeah, he is. But anyways.
No,
all
this,
right.
This,
so
the salty language is getting a little contagious. See what I did there?
I did. That was, I almost clapped. Almost.
Sorry. Okay.
It's been 2 weeks. You've missed it. Come on.
Speaking of the clapper.
Yes.
The I was going to talk about the young man who. Let's see. Was it that game? Going over. Oh yes. So one bright spot. In the disaster that was yesterday, well, not disaster, but you know, just an all-around bad
it
game.
Sucks.
It just, yeah, it tanked. But one bright spot in his, I believe, what was his second? Well, his second call up this year, second game, I think.
I think it was his fourth, to be honest.
Fourth game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the second time he's been called up from Hershey, though. This year.
Gotcha.
And that's one Mr. Travis Boyd. And I've said this about him before. If you're going to come from an elite program in the amateur ranks, you might as well come from the best. And he comes from the U. I'm not talking about Miami, people. I'm talking about Minnesota. The mm-hmm. U of Minnesota. One of the best programs in the nation. Always has been, always will be. And that's where he got his start. He moved up the ranks, drafted by the Caps, toiling in the minors. He's now slowly but surely getting his big break, unfortunately, with Kuznetsov injury. But he's you know, showing what he can do on the top line, no less.
Right.
With Alex Ovechkin assisting on his 43rd goal.
Which was awesome.
That was,
I mean,
something to see.
That... For someone who's coming up and you're, you know that you're already excited to be in the locker room and be around those guys and be part of the team. And then here you are giving an assist to Alex Ovechkin. I mean, come on. It was huge. So, yeah, when I texted you during the game yesterday, I'm like, he's adorable. He is. He's so stinking cute because he was like a little giddy, like, did you see that? You know, I did so well. And Ovechkin sitting next to him and, you know, he was giving him praise. And I just love that. And I hope it keeps rolling for Mr. Travis. But then if it's at the, what do you call it, the loss of Kuzi, that may be a big problem.
Well,
but I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling the same thing that Mrs. Blue Liner's feeling.
About the injury?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm concerned. I don't want to talk about it too much. I'll just say I'm concerned, and like I said, we pardon me, we will see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but no, I think Travis Boyd, a good dose of him could be what this team needs. That kind of infectious enthusiasm a la Nate Schmidt. I'm seeing a little bit of that in him, and so, you know, well, you never know. It's that could be if he manages to hang around for a while, and the team is allowed to carry extra players during the playoff run. So, I don't know. I don't know if Hershey's going to make the playoffs this year in the AHL, but certainly when the time comes, he'll be another call up, and I don't feel any concern about him at all stepping into any role because so far it looks like he belongs, and that's
I think
that's
so good. Too. But I will say I'm not gonna challenge it because it sounds kind of stupid to say that, but I don't think he has quite the personality or the goofy side of Nate Schmidt. I think he has the determination and the skill, not quite the speed, but definitely young legs like Vrana. And so I think two young, quick guys who, I mean, when you see them on the bench, it's like, yeah, you know, they're smiling, but then they're like in the zone, you know, 100%. Maybe, like you said, maybe that's exactly what our team needs, is to get some people out there who are excited to play the game. And get them all riled up again and you know, get the chemistry going. But who knows?
Yeah.
But now, I don't know. Nate Schmidt, I just, you know, everybody loved the guy. I'm not saying I didn't. I wasn't his biggest fan. It wasn't anything personal. I mean, but I think that he definitely stood out in a different category for me.
Fair enough.
Not that it matters.
Fair enough. Okay, so our main focus for this episode, though, is what I fear is the Caps' playoffs fate. Not to be, as Anna likes to say, a Debbie Downer, but I have a really bad feeling that what we all saw yesterday was going to be the real Caps team come playoff time. And that's the same old, no consistency, lack of enthusiasm, chasing the play, not forcing anything, not too aggressive. You know, the same old bad Caps play, lazy, unreliable, unresponsible, you know, kind of like, you know, I don't know, a 2010 Ford Focus. I don't know. Just bad, like what we saw. And I'm just worried that is the team that's going to show up. Now, we know they're going to make the playoffs, barring a complete disaster, which I don't think is going to happen. We know they're going to make it, but it could be, I mean, if that is the effort that gets put out for more than a couple of games, then they're just not going to last. And I'm out of answers at this point. I mean, I never claimed to be a hockey genius, but I have watched this team for a long, long time, enough to know when, you know, things are going to go bad, and things went pretty bad because they literally stumbled out of the gate and just did not come with it. And if they haven't learned by now that the playoffs are a whole other level of intensity and effort that gets built up over those 4, 5, 6 weeks that you got to have, when are they going to learn it? And, you know, and that's why I'm saying, well, maybe not necessarily one and done, but, you know, not past the second round, not any better than their most recent efforts. So I really think unless, you know, because the reason I'm saying that is because you had Grubauer in net, and he was playing his butt off, And you had no Brooks Orpik because he had his own injury and was sitting. And as I posted in the Facebook room, no Orpik and the D still stunk.
Mm-hmm.
And the forwards weren't all that much better. Burakovsky had that awful giveaway. Juice looked very uncomfortable out there. I don't know if he just needed to get his legs back or what, but just not a good game. And I don't know. I'm again, my fear is this is the team we're going to see in the playoffs.
And I don't agree. I don't. I won't let myself go down that deep, dark place of Caps seasons in the past because of the recent games in the last week or two. And we can go back from last time when, you know, we talked about the stadium series and they looked good there. They beat the Jets. That was a great game. The Islanders back-to-back, they have it in them. I don't know. I'm hoping that as a coach, they're watching the reels of...
I think Bella's got some strong opinions.
Are you coming in? Sorry. But I feel like at this point, what would be the point of sitting back and watching the recap of all the things that they did wrong when you could change it up a little bit, get it out of their head, and show all the things that they did right in the Winnipeg game, in the Islanders game, and in the Sharks game, and go take it that route rather than saying you should have done this, you should have done this, you should have done this. Flip it and say, look at what you did, keep it up.
But because it's the same stupid mistakes that they've been making. Well, throwing pizzas up the middle, you know, not forcing the play, letting the other team dictate the play.
But it's not, it hasn't been.
And other things other things I'm seeing them do with that start with D-I-C.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not ready to give up on him. I understand the frustration. Trust me, I had a lot of F-bombs at the screen last night trying to figure out who that team was that showed up, because it certainly didn't look like the Capitals, and it certainly didn't look like we're, 21 games away from ending the, before the playoffs starts. Like, come on. But, you know, we're here. We do this podcast because we love these guys. We got to support them. And let's just hope that, you know, they come into the game tomorrow and they look good. I think if these next 3-4 games this week, if they come out and they lose and whatever, then it's mental and that's on them and they're done. But I think if we see not a win every single game, but see something to get the momentum going, we have a damn good chance of changing that curse that we have.
Well, okay, so I'm not necessarily giving up on them. I'm just saying my fear is that this is representative of the effort that we're going to eventually see. Because here we are, we're, you know, 9/10 of the season over with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're taking
Stop.
It. They're taking it lying down.
And, but are they because of one Flyers game?
Well, I mean, okay.
No, I mean, seriously.
Who were they playing, though? Who were they playing? They were playing a division rival that they probably have a chance of meeting up against in the playoffs. Okay? You've got to get up for that game, and they just clearly weren't. And it bugs the crap out of me that they are still approaching games that way, like it's no big deal. And bad habits do carry over from the regular season.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that I was looking forward to the game yesterday because I thought Trotz had balls to put Boyd in the first line or top line. I was like, whoa. But you know what? Good for him. And putting him with Wilson and Ovechkin, I thought, you know what? You're going to change the lines up because that's what he's done before. He likes to keep the other team guessing. Sometimes it's great, and yesterday not so much. And without Orpik there, whatever. I don't really have – done with him. Kuzi's going to be difficult. I do think he'll be back. I think he won't play tomorrow, but I think he'll, I think we'll see him very soon, to be honest, in my opinion. I would like to, I don't know, do we dare talk about the goalie situation?
Unfortunately, I think we kind of have to. And we're not going to beat it to death like has already been in social media and regular media. But, yeah, I think we have to spend at least a couple minutes on that. I wouldn't call it a goalie controversy. Everybody knows where they stand. If it were really a goalie controversy, nobody would know where everybody stands. But I think we all know how the chess pieces are going to be laid out and played out. It looks to me like the situation's going to be this. You're going to see a lot of Grubauer over the course of these last dozen or so games. But you're also going to see some of Holtby whenever you can. But unlike past years, you're going to see him getting extended breaks. You're going to see Grubauer start two, three, and perhaps even four straight games just to give Holtby that extra rest that he needs. And because as much as I cannot stand him, Brent Johnson made a pretty valid point in explaining what most likely is wrong with Holtby, and that he's suffering maybe a slight case of the burnout. Because think about it, the man has played 50, 60 games a lot over the course of the past 4 years.
Right.
And, you know, sooner or later, that gets to you. That wears you down. And
absolutely.
You got to, and it, you know, we did it last week. You got to recharge the batteries because you just, you know, you don't sound fresh. I mean, listen to me. I haven't shut up yet, have I?
You kind of haven't. I'm like, why am I even on the show? Why am I even here?
Because you're my hot co-host and everybody knows it.
Oh, the terminology that will never, ever leave this little podcast of ours. Yeah. Yeah.
But
hot or not, I'm still here.
Yes.
Yeah, I read that also, and I actually, if I very much felt like it was spot on. Everybody gets tired. I mean, there's every NHL, you know, pitchers on the baseball teams, quarterbacks, you know, people get burnt out. They get tired. However, what do you do as a coach when you say, but in the past, he's done A, B, C, and D, and look at how well it's been? Well, this is the first time that we're seeing a little weakness in Holtby. And we're seeing, you know, he's not who he was a couple of years ago. You know, do you put more faith in Grubauer, who to me has been awesome? Yesterday sucked, but I don't put that on him at all.
No,
I put that on
the whole team in front of him sucked.
They did. I mean,
last night,
when you watch any of the recap, it's like, what the hell? There's all Islander guys right in front of the net. And where's our guys? Not there. Nope. They're, you know, I don't know, tweeting or something. We're not paying attention. So it's a tough call, and I think that Trotz is kind of, I think this is one of those situations as a coach where you're in a tough situation, because even though it is a team, there's always going to be star players that are going to stand out. And when your star player is not looking so wonderful, it's difficult to see. You know, it's kind of hard to swallow, because it's like, God, I hope it's not the end of his career, or I hope it's not this, or I hope it's not a burnout or mental or whatever it is. So, you know, do you then say, okay, but this is also the nature of the game? I can't even imagine what his knees must be so fucked up. I mean, like, just the stuff that he does, and he's so on and he's so tense. The 60 minutes is brutal. So yeah, his body's got to be hurting. But what are we going to do about it? And I don't know if resting him, like you said, maybe 3 or 4 games is the right thing to do. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be sarcastic about it. I'm like legitimately saying, do you sit him out so he can rest his body? But then he doesn't have the mental stimulation going, you know, of being in the goal and all that stuff to kind of keep him in the game. But do you put him in and he may screw up because he is tired and he needs a break, you know? But it's like, well, we don't have that many games to, you know, to kind of like, do we do this or we do that? And I think that would be a very difficult coach call. But I am super impressed with Grubauer. I'm super impressed that he has, you know, come out of the Holtby shadow and proved himself.
Yeah. And the one thing right now that I think Grubauer offers is confidence. And that is goaltending is probably the weirdest position in all sports. If you have a bad pitcher in baseball, you can yank him and there's 8, 7, 6, 5 other innings you can get through with a different pitcher. You got a gajillion pitchers on your staff that can have a variety of styles you can get through the rest of the game. But you only have 2 goalies, okay? And if one of them's bad, you got to put the other one in and then hope like hell that they can perform and they can carry the team when necessary. And if they don't, the rest of the team loses confidence and changes their style. And right now, what Grubauer is offering is an attitude of, hey, guys, I got this. You know, do your job, but even if you fail, I've got this. And
right
now, that I think that's the shot in the arm the team needs, at least in part, going forward as far as, you know, the style of play. Now, why it failed them yesterday, I'm still trying to figure that out. We're all trying to figure that out. But I mean, it's as simple as you ride the hot hand. And that's, Trotz is kind of an old school coach that way, so he's gonna ride the hot hand, and unless, you know, Grubauer, you know, defecates all over his pads, you know, in one of these games coming up, you're gonna continue to see a lot of him. And
gross.
What?
Really defecate all over his path.
I'm trying to make a point here.
I know, but no. Gross, Gil. All right. Moving on. Get to your point.
That was my point. Weren't you listening?
No, because you've talked for like the last 52 minutes.
That's funny because we've only been going 48.
Oh, shut it.
You're of the opinion though that, I mean, what? So what do you think it should be? Like 50-50 going the rest of the way here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. And the reason I think that is because, like you said, the goalie position, just aside from, you know, just being 2 people on a roster and you kind of have to have trust in one and trust in the other. That's it right there. You've got 50% and 50% and you guys are a team. So if, you know, Holtby can't bring Grubauer down because, you know, he's tired, he's got to give it 100% too. It is a position that amazes me. I mean, the reflexes, how they are able to even see where the puck is going with, you know, all the other players in front of them, to me is amazing. So we have to put faith in the fact that we just didn't bring up some guy to, you know, fill in when Holtby can't do his thing. We took the time to say, okay, Grubauer's earned this. And he's now showing us that, you know, if Holtby isn't given what he was a couple of years ago, then we are okay to not give up on him, but to give Grubauer, you know, let's back him also. So I think you do 50% because you don't want Holtby to be out of it. For him, it's so mental. He needs to be in the game. There's nothing worse than having to sit back in all your pads and everything else with the baseball cap watching somebody in your position.
And a glove full of nachos.
Right.
Don't forget that.
Nachos are good things, though. So come on now. queso. Anyways, so yeah, so I feel like, you know what, you just treat it like you would any other time. Don't put the pressure on Grubauer to say, you know, Holtby needs to sit out because, you know, his legs hurt or he's getting older or he's getting burnt out. No, you're going to treat it exactly how you would any other time. You played last night. You did your best. But you know what? We're playing the Stars tomorrow. We're playing them at home. Let's get Holtby back in there because he's up against Sagan and all the other guys on the Stars that are going to give us a run for our money.
I see your point, but I still say, surprise, surprise, disagree. You know, you ride the hot hand. Right now, Grubauer's the hot hand. But who's to say that come playoff time, you know, you don't stick with that. You might change your mentality on that, because come playoff time, yes, sorry, yeah, but Holtby is the proven, yeah, commodity there.
Well, that's the other thing is, stop it. Sorry. Eating my shoe.
Wasn't all that tasty, to be honest.
I know. Well, it's like, I'm like, if you knew where that shoe was.
Talk about defecating.
But that's the thing, though, is so we don't want to put all, you know, faith or whatever in saying, okay, Grubauer, you're going to do 75% of the games that are leading up to the playoffs, but then we're going to put Holtby in because he's been there and he knows what to expect. No, they both need to be physically ready and they both need to be mentally ready. I think Holtby can give Grubauer a great mentoring moment on, hey, don't let, you know, fans psych you out. Don't look at social media. Don't listen to all the hype and the this and the that. But in the end, you know, both of them are going to have to play in the playoff games. They're not going to keep one in for the entire series. So you play in 50-50.
Right. And I think, I think that is going to end up being the strategy when they get to the playoffs.
Right.
So there's kind of, in that way, there's kind of a goalie controversy, but not really. Because I think there's a good chance either one of them could, you know, do well. But look, I hate even the thought of modeling them, but look what the Penguins did last year. They rode both goalies to the cup last year.
Right.
So it's not like it can't, shouldn't, or couldn't be done. It has been done. And as recently as last year. So, 50-60%, I would say agree to disagree. I don't know. Who was that French mathematician?
No.
Oh, speaking of French.
No.
I had a croissant for breakfast this morning.
With chaisant. Right?
Is that what you're going to say? You're allowed to do the accent, but I'm not?
No. I took honors French. I could probably BS my way through a little bit of French.
I took 4 years of French in high school and college, so.
Did you just really one-up me on the French stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, still, it doesn't make it okay for you to do. I said on Facebook it was not a reason for you to bring in the French accent just because Chaisson scored.
And I put up a little loophole around that, didn't I?
And I came back with the Simpsons clip.
I'm not doing it on the show, am I?
That's true. But you really want to.
This is me through the podcast, an audio version of sticking my finger in your face and going, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
And it's working. it's totally working. Yeah. Because there isn't I don't do anything on this end that irritates you. Like, irritate you, the swearing, whatever. Get over it. But there is, you know the things that just irritate the out of me, and it's not just you, it's any blast my husband. Like, he tries, I'm like, stop it, you don't sound anything like whomever, Johnny Cash or whoever you think you sound like. It drives me nuts, And then you go in and, yeah, not touching you.
So because this hockey team does what it does to us fans, this is how we have to entertain you, the fellow fan, and ourselves. Because, yeah. Okay, so unless you had any other thoughts,
nope.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much going to wrap it up here. You've got some dinner or some other administrative tasks to take care of. And we're also going to get a crap ton of snow here in the next couple of days, which is weird because it's like 55 degrees out right now.
It's gorgeous today.
Yeah. Those of you listening in the DMV, State of Maryland, District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, you all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have my flip-flops. They came out today.
Yeah, and I went outside without a jacket.
Whoa. Now that's living risky. Look at you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had flip-flops. I was all ready. And then tomorrow it's supposed to be okay. And then Wednesday, what, like 3 to 6 inches? What the
Finland!
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You want to say, yeah, you want to say no to something. Say no to that.
No, but I don't get a reaction out of snow.
Yeah, really.
Get a reaction out of Gil.
Except you just...
And it's funny.
Yeah, well, is it, you just shovel it.
Mm-hmm.
Or shovel it where snow belongs. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay, quick, I almost forgot, quick preview of the next few games. If I can open the right app here. Okay, so Dallas tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop at Capital One. And then they go on something of a weird road trip. The Red Wings, Detroit, 7:30 puck drop at the Pizza Arena. And Les Canadiens, that was my bit of French here. Notice I waited till you took a drink so you could absorb it better. 7 o'clock puck drop at the Ring the Bell Center. And as I mentioned, next Monday, the Rangers at MSG, a 7:30 puck drop there as well. So those are the next four games, and we'll see how they do then. The real test will come, I think, the last week of the season, which happens to be that week after. So we'll keep an eye on that team. So, but as always, make your posts on our Facebook page. That's Power Play Point Podcast, all caps, naturally. Hashtag all caps, of course. And the contact information, I am at BLULINER98 at Twitter, GLHALLOWED at yahoo.com for email. And I know you're on IG and Twitter. I can follow you. I'm so spoiled, but I keep on forgetting your handles. Anna, please.
Oh, that's not okay.
What's not
well,
okay?
Well, maybe I'm not. That well, you should know it.
Well, I click on your face. I tap on your face. I put my finger.
Watch yourself. That was opening a whole can of worms.
I'm sorry.
No. Instagram, I am at Aquanox49. And on Twitter, I'm at Anox49.
Okay, so that's how to get a hold of us individually and as a group. And if you have any questions or concerns, do please contact one of us or both of us. You can also see, or hear, rather, Anna as a semi-regular on the Sports on the Hill podcast, which is going to post live later on this evening and every Monday going forward. Yep. And I am also a sometime guest on there as well. So
I'm just cuter. I'm hotter.
Uh-huh.
My name.
Yeah, so we're
gonna... Slackatonic is awesome.
God. If only I didn't have to. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So thanks once again for listening and sticking with us. Thanks for bearing with us through our brief self-imposed one-week vacation. And thanks for staying with us. So this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off with a reminder to have your pets spayed and or neutered because, well, you know, they can't have all the fun. Let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Yeah, totally. And just a minute. No. No shoes. No. So mark that to be sure you take it. No. Take it out. All these blooper reels of Anna and Bella having arguments over stupid things.